Hello, everyone. Welcome to Paranormal Roundtable. I'm your host, Josh Turner, and with me is Anthony, and we are doing part two of our interview with Angela Shelton.
She has a lot to share with us.
Yeah. And so before we get started, though, of course, be sure and check out our Facebook group. We have a group on there. It's Paranormal Roundtable, but we also have a holistic healing group. We have the prayer group, which is very important. Nellie's, those are her groups, and then Paranormal Lounge. And then we also are the admins for Inhumanoids with Barton Nunley and Quad Coalition of Sciences with Nick Valente. And so we have several groups, a bunch of different groups, and we're all, you know, go check those groups out. I'm also, somebody asked me about the Instagram. I'm Josh Turner 940 on Instagram. Anthony, you want to give yours?
Yeah, my Instagram is Mexican Jumping Meme.
And I forgot Tony's. I can't remember. I
think
one.
Tony's is just PRT Mushu.
PRT Mushu. Yeah. Or something. But I thought it was like a number too, wasn't it?
No.
No, that's it? Okay. Anyway, he's on there. And so I don't have his memorized, but he's not with us tonight. He's working. But this is the Thursday edition of Paranormal Roundtable. And just to clarify, it's not live. If you're listening to this, is a pre-record, and you may be listening to it on the premiere. And you can participate in the premiere with the chat. And that also means that you can donate and do a super chat. People have asked me about that. And, you know, that's how you do it. And just like you would on the live stream. The live stream's on YouTube exclusive Friday and Sunday. Sunday, we just retell people stories. Friday, we have a guest. And then like we do tonight, which is a Thursday edition, we have a guest. And it's the hour-long podcast episode, which goes on to 15 different platforms, including YouTube. But you can only participate in the premiere chat on YouTube. Can't do that on the other platforms. And like I said, the Friday and Sunday are YouTube exclusive live streams. Do you want to explain the Patreon?
Yeah, the Patreon is patreon.com/PRT podcast. And of course, there's going to be a link to it down in the description of the YouTube upload. We have five tiers ranging from $10 a month to $50 a month. Whatever tier you sign up for, after 2 months of being on that tier, you get a swag bag. So you just send us a message on Patreon saying, hey, this is my shirt size. This is the Patreon tier I'm on. I've been on for 2 months and this is my mailing address. Can I have my swag bag, please? And we'll get that mailed out to you. Every swag bag, at the very least, is going to come with an autographed book, with a t-shirt, with some stickers, with some PRT keychains. The higher tier you are, the more you get in that swag bag. But regardless of what tier you're on, you're going to get way more than your money's worth back in merchandise.
Yeah, and so that's a great way to support the show. Also, you can go and buy my books. Paranormal Roundtable is the name of the show. But the books are on Amazon are Werewolves and the Dogman Phenomena, and the other one is the Bigfoot Phenomena. Paranormal Roundtable, we also have merchandise. You can go and buy yourself a hoodie. Those are real popular, especially the zip-up hoodies that are doing really well this year. So go and check that out and support the show and our work. And, of course, you know, the books, it's something that I did, but it – you know, it's also the logo of the Paranormal Roundtable. It's under that, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the stories in there might be familiar, but some of them won't be. And that being said, I have a third book that's going to be coming out soon, so stay tuned for that. And then I'll be starting on my fourth book, which is already – I'm already kind of targeting, you know? So – busy, busy. Here we are, Paranormal Roundtable with Angela Shelton. Let's get started. Are you there, Angela?
Yes. Hi. Sorry okay. about that.
No. There's no reason to be sorry. Just don't let it happen again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or else. Okay.
Yeah.
So Angela, go ahead and pick up where you left off. When we last were talking to you on last week's episode, you were talking about your son and that he had inherited the gifts that you had inherited from your mother and it was going down the line.
Oh, yes. It, you know, it's something you don't wish on your kids. You don't wish, or you just don't even, you just hope it doesn't go on to them. And I really didn't think that it was, you know, too much of it actually going to my first three because it wasn't as often as I had it, or, you know, they were just, see, you know, little things here and there, you know. And then my daughter, it started with her quite a bit, she was just petrified of it. So she would stay out of the house, you know, a lot with her friends, and like I did in my teens. But with my youngest, it started with him, like just before he was two, I put him to bed and in his crib, which he could never sleep in. And that was one of which I at first I thought that it was because he wanted to sleep with me, you know, being a baby. And so I tried to get him to sleep in his crib, and he couldn't, and he would just like just cry, and like he really didn't want to be there. So when we had moved into this one house on Main Street in Elkton, it was Elkton, Maryland, in Cecil County, and it was an old house. It was right next to a train yard, and somebody told us that a man by the name of Gene Reedy died there, shot and killed himself. And so I really didn't know what to believe, you know, because I was starting to get entities into my pictures. And I'm like, what is that? You know, this real dark entity that you can see facial bones, neck bones, you know, you can see the collarbone, shoulders. And it was like as if he went and jumped in the picture to say hi, you know. And everybody would tell me, you know, he was always a prankster. He was always, you know, a funny person. He loved kids. He was always joking around with kids. And, you know, that's the kind of person he was. And I was like, yeah, you better leave me and my kids alone, you know. But when I first moved in and I put Dominic in his crib, and then I just started walking down the steps, and as soon as my foot hit the bottom landing, I heard him like just blood curling scream. And I was like, you know, he was just sleeping with a smile on his face, you know. So I ran back up them steps and went into the room, and when I did, like his crib was shaking, and I'm like, what in the world? You know, I was shocked. And the door that I always kept closed, that you couldn't, even if you opened it to pull it open, you couldn't pull it open because I had the crib there anyway. But I had it closed and locked, and it was very hard to open. But that door was open, you know, about, I don't know, about 10 inches or so, as much as you can possibly open it with the crib being there. And I looked, and I'm like, no. And I picked him up out of his crib. When I turned around, the TV on the dresser was swinging forward and back. And I hurried up and I ran over to his dad that was sleeping and trying to wake him up. And he wouldn't wake up for anything. And he normally doesn't sleep like that. So I kicked and kicked the bed and kicked him. And I'm like, get up. And I yelled. And then when he looked around and he looked at me and he could see the TV, he was like, what in the world? You know, and then it stopped. Like everything just stopped. And I said, we're moving. You know, that was like, it's just, that list goes on. Like every time I had to put him in a crib, he'd try climbing out of it. And so that house, it was definitely something, like it wasn't just picking on him. Then it started picking on my daughter. And then my other two boys, and at the time, I mean, they're all younger, you know, in this house. And so I said, goodness. And I, you know, one day I said, I need that light on in the hallway. And a light came on. And that's how I figured out that whatever's in that house will turn the lights on and off for you, turn the water on and off for you, you know, and odd sounds, different things, you know, jumping in the pictures with the kids. He even followed us to one of my first son's, one of his Christmas plays. And I took pictures and caught the, Gene Reedy sitting in one of the seats. And I said, you gotta be kidding. They can travel with you. You know, that was the first, you know, thing that I thought of, was like, you know, figured out that they can actually really follow you. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So So there was times where I would have grocery bags and stuff in the house would be totally dark inside. And I'll just like, hey, Jean, can you turn the hall light on for me, please? And the light will come on. You know, so that was the thing with that. And one day my brother, his wife and his daughter and my mom, they all came to visit us and they brought birthday cakes for the boys and it was their birthday. And so we started hearing this like a rotary phone ringing, you know. I'm like, what in the world is that? And it was up in their room. So I said, I'm like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go. And my mom says, do you have a phone like that? I'm like, no. I said, but I'm going to go answer it. You know, just making funny little jokes, you know. So I went up there, walked right into the doorway of the room. And there was that yellow, it was a yellow phone, like a toy. It was hollow. There was nothing in it to make it ring. It like whatever it had in it at one time was not in it at all. You know, at this time, it was just a.
So it was just like a shell.
Yeah, it was just a shell. It was nothing. And I bent down and I picked it up and, you know, it had stopped ringing. So I just like, huh. So I put it back down on the floor. And I'm thinking in my mind that Gene Reedy, he is a jokester. So I go back down the steps. And as soon as I get down to the bottom, that phone started ringing again. So this happened several times of me going up and down those steps, getting this phone, you know, and it would stop. So the last time it happened, it started ringing. And I said, I'll be right back. I said, I'm going to go bring it down here, you know. So I went up and got it. And it stop, you know, first I even answered it. I said, hello, and didn't hear anything. So I, of course, you know, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? So I brought it downstairs and I held it in my hand. And, you know, you always want to kind of get back at your like sister-in-law, brother-in-law, whatever, you know, once in a while. And I said, you know, she's afraid of ghosts. So, you know, she kind of doesn't believe in them. So I said, you know, I said, okay. I said, so we did this light on and off thing with the light, asking questions, and it would, you know, come on, you know, on the correct answers and stuff like this, like, you know, how many people are here, and I would give a number in it, and I'm like, turn the light on if this is correct, you know, come on. And my sister-in-law is sitting there just looking at me and my brother, you know, they're like, what? And I said, oh, the... You know, so I had that yellow phone and I said, Jean Reedy, can you make this phone ring in my hand? And that phone started ringing in my hand. And I'm looking at it like, oh, you know, my eyes were like, my whole face was just all lit up like, what in the world? And so I sat it down and I said, okay, Jean, you can stop making it ring. And it stopped. And my sister-in-law looked at me, she goes, well, you know, we got to, you know, start heading back home. I started laughing, but I was like, you know, I showed him, I'm like, I said, it's real. I'm like, you know, this place is old. So it just, from those, you know, little things and, you know, having them turn the lights on and off, turn the water off, when my, middle son, William, would leave it on. And, I'm like, I still hear the water run. I'm like, Jean, can you turn that water off? And then it would stop. So it was just, this house was really full. And you can feel it too. It was like feeling thick. Like the air felt real stuffy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And one day I just got on my hands and knees and I just started praying. I was like, you know, God, whatever is in here, please lift it and take it out of here. And for all who has, if they're trapped here, you know, I prayed for them too. And I prayed for a good while on my knees. And when I was done, I stood up and I started feeling like you can literally feel it left right out of there, but Gene Reedy stayed there.
So he was there, the spirit of this guy. Mm-hmm. But there was something else that was there, and you could tell the difference?
Yes. Yep. There was, in this house here, was, after we moved in, it was something sort of like what happened at my mom and dad's house on Sipple Avenue, where it sounded like everything, if something was being hit or being thrown at the house, all over the house, the windows and all. But inside this house, it sounded like thousands and thousands of rats being, you know, running through like the drop ceiling and in the walls. And then it just stopped, like it never even happened. And we were all just standing there like, what in the world is that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're rats. No. So there was nothing. Like, they had an exterminator and he found absolutely nothing. He said, everything looks great. And he said, it looks like it's all been redone in here and everything. And he said, I don't see anything, no signs of anything. I said, wow, because I wasn't going to let my kids sleep at night knowing that something like that was crawling around in the house, you know. So no one found anything. I never had any droppings of nothing and nothing. And so that to me was something, a sign of something bad. To me, that something was letting me know that it was there and it was bad. So we stayed there for 18 months and we left. It was like, it was so much that the kids were actually being bothered while they're trying to sleep. They couldn't sleep, you know, in their own beds. So we're like, you know what? Well, what if we move and that should take care of it? So then we move on to, we went and moved on Old Elk Neck Road in Cecil County. And that is like the whole area right there is like country setting. It's, you know, you don't have to worry about cars, but coming up and down the driveway or our landlord going to his house. And it was just one little tiny road leading right up to their driveway. And, stuff started happening there, and I noticed it when I was recording my daughter playing her piano, and she was really, it was really good, you know. So I'm like, hey, you know, I'm gonna record this and record your other couple of songs. So I was recording her, and the first recording came out great, and then the second one I was recording her. The second one, when I played it back, it sounded like something was breathing into the phone real heavy. And it sounded like it was mean or something, you know, bad. And I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, huh. I said, let's play your other one. So she played. And it totally blocked out the whole entire sound that she was playing. You can hear her faded in the background and there's something that was breathing again into my phone. And I said, all right. So we decided to do an EVP, and it only took one for us to get up out of that room. And she was sitting there, and I said, whoever's in here, I said, can you talk into the phone? And then it said in this demonic type voice, why don't you? And I looked at her, we played it back and played it back again. I said, come with me. And we both walked to the door, and I shut that door behind us, and we went into the front room. And I said, you know what? Let's just go outside, you know, and wait for their dad to come home. So that's what we did. And from then on, it was, you know, we were seeing this little boy. He looked like he was Amish. We were experiencing him running up and down the steps. You can hear, but we didn't have a second floor. It was a flat, you know, it was like a bigger than a double wide trailer place. But yet we were hearing this boy running up and down the steps, running around the top of us, and someone with heavy boots walking up above and coming, you know, the little boy would run down the steps and you can hear him open up this wooden latch door, which we didn't have, you know, and he would slam it open and then it would slam shut. And I would think to myself, the first time I ever heard it, I said, you know, I said, he was in such of a hurry. I bet you he forgot something. And as soon as I said that, he come running back in, running back up them steps. You know how you get tired when you get to the last four steps, you know, and you're like, do, 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 you know, that's how he sounded. And I knew he was like tired running down them steps, and he come running back down and he left. And I said, wow. And I'm laying on the couch just listening to this. And I said, this is crazy. I said, what was built here before this? And down below where the water stream and everything is this real old part of a wagon. And it was really old. It was from back, like, you know, years and years ago. So it sat there on this property. So the owner of the property, our landlord, he decided to keep it and just keep it down by the water. So it kind of tells you, like, you know, there was something definitely built there. And when I asked the landlord about it, he did tell me, he said there was like a, you can see down into the dirt when he dug up and stuff like that, that, you know, there were pieces, bits and pieces of what used to sit there before. And he says, I'm not sure what it was. He says, but it could have been, you know, like a cabin type house. And I said, wow, that could explain some things, you know. I said, but I bet it had an upstairs too. So, you know, I would tell him some of the things that would go on in that house. And so he, one day he came to me and he was having experiences starting hearing some things and seeing some things. And he goes, girl, I got to hand it to you. He says, I'm really starting to believe what you're telling me. He says, because he saw something that looked like bubbles coming up out of the ground and it was manifesting, but he thought at first it was water. So when he got closer to it, it just disappeared. It was gone. And he looked and he felt and everything, and it wasn't wet on the grass or anything like that. And he said he didn't know what to make of that. So he was having experiences too, all of, you know, because I'm telling him about mine, and then all of a sudden he starts getting them. And it was, that whole place there was amazing. It was, I mean, we didn't have much of bad happen there, but it was just that one voice, you know, with the EVP with my daughter in her room. And we've witnessed, well, something was looking at me through the window, and it from the outside in front. At this window, you got to be at least 8 foot tall to look in this window because it the house is like up on like a cement, you know, platform. So it raises up the kitchen when you're looking out the window. One day I was sitting on the recliner chair just watching TV with the kids, and I felt this like something was near me, and I just glanced over to my right, and I seen this face looking in the window, and I can see his, like, just outlined in this brightest bluish white, all of the details of his face, and he's staring at me through the window, and I'm looking back at him, and we just stared at each other until he disappeared. And I looked over, and I yelled for their dad. I'm like, get up right now. Just stand up. He said, why? I said, you go out there and you find out who was just staring at me through that window. And he was like, what? You can't. He said, I can't even reach that window without standing on something. And I was like, you need to go out there and look. So he did. And there was nothing, no footprints, no nothing, nothing at all. But I already knew what I saw, but I wanted him to stick it up and, for whatever reason, you know, to go out there and look around. And,
validation. I mean,
right. Yep. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm like, wow. I'm like, everywhere I go, what is this? You know, you know, and my mom says, I hate to hand it to you, but, you know, I said, yeah, it did come from you, you know? So,
well, I mean, you're dealing with what could be transient spirits, but you're also mm-hmm. dealing with the locals, let's put it that way. And then yeah. you're dealing with whatever it is that is following you. And it's, you right. know, you have the eye. I mean, it's simple.
Yeah, it's not going to go away. And so my youngest now here at that house, whatever it could have been in my daughter's room, I mean, it did bother him quite a bit. He could never sleep in his tot bed. He couldn't sleep in there. The other two boys actually saw something grab at Dominic when he was laying down on his bed. He tried to get up and to get away from it because it came out from the side and up, like out from under his bed and up to grab him. And it was like his black, dark figure arm literally grabbed his shirt and then wouldn't let it go. And then finally, you know, Nicholas, well, my oldest and my middle son got him away from it and they ran him into the front room to me. And it was every night with him, he couldn't sleep. So I had the boys, you know, everyone, my daughter, all of us sleeping in one room together all the time in the front room. Cause everybody just started having these experiences, you know, off the wall. And I was like, wow, this is just crazy. So a priest, I called a priest and he said, get everyone to one room to camp out. That's what we did. And I started, you know, praying with them, teaching them what to say and do. Like if anything comes at them, you turn around and you tell it in the name of Jesus Christ, go back to hell where you came, you know, back off, get away and take up for themselves. And, it with that house was another just crazy. So we, one summer night, my daughter and I, we decided to have a girls' night out in the pool. So I told her, you know, you got to wait until after the youngest one falls asleep, you know, her little brother. So that way I can lay him on the couch and slip out the back door, you know, to have some me time with her. And so he was sound asleep and I had the doors shut. They weren't locked because I mean, I could, you know, I'm right there at the pool and I can hear everything, you know, or hear him because all the windows were open. So we're in the pool and I'm laying back. We're both laying back. And she says, Mom, she says, look up there. That star is moving from, you know, going back and forth. And I said, Sarah, if you're seeing a star moving back and forth, it's not a star. I said, it's something different, you know, UFO or something. And so she shows it to me and I'm now seeing it, you know, and so we're just laying back in the water, just watching it. Then we hear like this airplane coming by and it was kind of low. And I'm like, oh, look, here comes an airplane. So we're watching this airplane and still looking up at the star thing moving, you know, and then it started getting brighter and it got bigger and brighter and it came down and it met the plane nose to nose. And I thought for sure it was going to crash into that plane. And I went, oh my gosh, me and my daughter both like were like holding her face like, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to crash. And but that whatever that star thing was, it went down, under and back up real quick from that plane. Like it just wanted to look at that plane and go back up. And that's when we stood up in the pool and we're still looking up at it. And then she's like, Mom, it's getting brighter. And I said, if it's getting brighter, it might be coming down. And because we had just seen what it did with the plane, you know, we jumped, you know, got out of that pool, ran into the garage, threw our dry clothes on over top of our wet swimsuit. And I grabbed her fiber optic handheld light. It was like different color, you know, fiber optics. And it played the theme song of Mothra on it. And I got it for from the fair.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Like several nights before. And then she grabbed the flashlight and I said, let's go out and see, watch this thing. So we did. And we're looking up at it and it's back where it was and it's going back and forth. And then I said, hey, Sarah, I said, you know, and I was just playing around and I will never do it again. But we were playing around and I said, if you take a flashlight, I hear, do big circle motions with the light and then turn it off, you can attract the UFO. And I was just playing and next thing you know, like we were doing that and then we stopped and we're watching it and then it started getting brighter again and bigger and brighter. And I said, oh. We looked at each other and I said, oh my gosh, it's coming down, you know? And it was this like a ball, like some type of sphere, whatever it was lit up. It was like a illuminated all with just in itself. It didn't have a trail light behind it or anything like that. And it came down and I said, oh my gosh. And it like made like a, it looked like it was going to come down in front of us, but it like made a U-turn and went straight ahead and went above the trees and the trees even bent a little bit to move out of the way. And that thing just left. And I said, oh. I looked at her and I'm looking around and I'm looking at her. And I said, did you see that? I'm like, oh my gosh, where did that thing go? I said, what is that? And she's like, I don't know. And it's about the size of a basketball, or maybe a little bigger than a basketball. And so we're just looking around, looking for this thing. And I looked at her and I said, you know, whatever goes up must come back, And I said, but before I can say anything, I was like, but I hope it doesn't, Turned around and this thing just started coming back at us and we're standing next to each other. And then I ducked one way and she ducked the opposite way and it went right in between us and it went back up. So this ball, this bright ball that had like a bluish type hue, like a very fade bluish hue to it. It was up and moving around at the tree that was this little tree that was right out in front of the porch of the house. It was really close. It was probably like, I don't know, several feet from the porch to the tree. And so this is where this thing started playing with us. It came down and, I went to like go around to follow it and everything around the tree so it would stop. And then we would meet back with it and then it would go back the opposite way, like playing hide and seek around this tree. So we were giggling and laughing and then it went around back around to where the pool was. So we went back around that way and I'm like, now where did it go? And she's like, I don't know. And I said, it was just there, and we're looking for it. And she turns around, looks at me and she starts giggling at me. And I'm like, what? I'm like, it's above my head, isn't it? And she said, mm-hmm. And when I looked up, it was right above my head. And I went to put my hand on it to touch it. And it backed away from my hand. And my daughter is like, Mom, I wouldn't touch that if I were you because, it could fry you. It can, all these little things. And I said, yeah, you got a point, And back around to the other tree it went. So we're back around to the tree playing around with this thing. And not realizing of the time, there was not realizing that we couldn't hear the crickets, feel the air at that time or anything. And yet, what was happening on the inside of the house was very different. My youngest was up screaming and crying after he had an experience of opening the front door because he thought it was us on the porch because he had woke up, he woke up and he was walking around looking for me and couldn't find me or his sister. So he heard the doorknob move. And since we had the bug light on, the yellow light for the outside porch, he thought it was us. And so he opened up the door to look out and he saw these two beings step up from the light and he just panicked and he slammed the door on them and then he locked it. And I just taught him how to lock the door, like like 2 days or something like that before like all of that happened. And he locked the door and he started screaming on, that's when he started screaming on top of his lungs and everything, woke up his dad. You know, he came and he got him and they all woke up, all the boys and him, and they're all walking around looking for me and my daughter. And if he said that, all of them said that they walked around the tree, they walked around front of the house, on the porch, all around, they walked down on the bridge, everywhere looking for us and could not find us. But the whole time we were both playing around that tree. So this went on, he said, for 2 hours. He was there. They were all looking for us. And he said he was about to call the police because he didn't know what happened to us. So he said when he came, he went back around the back, came through the house to the front through and went back through the front door. That's when he finally seen us. And they were standing on the porch screaming our names. And I can see them. It was like watching a silent movie. You know, they're like, I can see them calling us, but couldn't hear them. So I'm standing there and I said, Sarah, I'm like, listen, we couldn't hear the crickets. We couldn't feel the wind, nothing. And yet we couldn't hear them call us. And I said, look, and she says, what are they doing? And I said, they're calling for us. So then whatever it was, it lifted off of us and we caught the ending parts of our names being yelled, you know, called out to us. And when we stepped forward, came out of it all, and I looked at her and I said, no one is going to believe this. And I said, this is crazy. And I said, I don't know what that thing, we're still looking back behind us, looking up, looking to see if we see that, you know, that orb ball thing.
Getting your name called is like... It seems to be par for the course when it comes to being in one of these places that happened to us pretty regularly at the house we lived in, or you'd get a whisper, or sometimes you'd hear conversations, whispers, and you couldn't always make it out. Sometimes you could.
Yeah.
But it's always pleasant to just, you get to go to the bathroom and you hear, hey, you know, it's like.
Yeah, we had that happen. Yes, we've had that here at this apartment that we're at now, but it did that when. We finally heard them calling our names, like the last parts of our names being said. And I guess that's when it lifted off of us. And we looked at each other like, you know, that was crazy. And we were walking towards the house and going up. And I looked around and I said, no one's going to believe us. And we're still looking at each other, like just like trying to process of everything that was just happening. And then my youngest, you know, he leaped in my arms and he was in that hysterical breathing from crying so hard, you know, and he couldn't even talk to me because he was breathing and still upset and everything. So I'm holding on to him and he wrapped his hand in my hair like, like you're not going nowhere now, you know, and don't put me down again kind of thing. And so later on, I asked, you know, their dad and my oldest son, I'm like, where did you guys look for us? I said, we were there the whole time by that tree. You didn't see us? And they're like, no. He says, you couldn't have been because we were around. We didn't see you. We were around that tree, you know, all out looking, screaming and calling your names. And I said, you were screaming, calling our names. He said, yes. Then when I looked at the time and then I told him to tell me the time, you know, it was 2 hours that had gone by missing. Like, it didn't even feel like 2 hours. So he said something, you know, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, what did it look like to you when you first seen us finally? He said, it looked like that we had stepped out of something dark and coming out of it, whatever it was by the tree. And I said, that's what you saw. And he said, yeah. So whatever happened to me and her, I can't really explain. All I know is that we were playing with this ball around this tree and this floating ball thing. And so we get in the, you know, we're all sitting in the house and everything like that. And we couldn't sleep. Me and my daughter, we stayed up for the rest of the night. We just couldn't sleep. And then the next day when my youngest finally woke up, I let him rest. And I said, I'm like, it was so like, it was, you could feel tension and I can sense tension with everyone. And I said, who wants to go to Chuck E. Cheese? You know, I'm like, let's go do something. And then all the kids perked up, you know, yay, you know. So we all went, and then from there we went and stopped off like Walmart and then Dollar Tree, and I bought them a lot of art stuff and booklets to draw in. And I told my youngest, I'm like, so can you draw what happened? And then he told us, that's when he started opening up and telling us what had happened and what he saw. And I said, can you draw what you've seen? And I didn't tell him what to draw. No one did. And he come back and showed us his picture. He did it by himself. And it was two alien, like grays with the almond eyes, black eyes. And he had one cape on one, and the other one was shorter than the other one. He said that's what he saw that tried to step up into the foyer coming through the door. So me and my daughter, we just looked at each other and was like, and we were like, wow, you know, I didn't let them, you know, watch any kind of things of paranormal or like the, you know, alien stuff when they were little, you know what I mean? It was just odd for him to even perfectly draw at his age what he drew. And so I looked at her and I'm like, do you think, and we just had the same thought, that they were keeping us busy while they could have been abducting somebody in the house, or they did something to us and we just don't know it. But we didn't stay there very long after that either. Like we moved to a farmhouse from there. And from there, my daughter was sitting up in the window. We weren't there very long. And this was on Stevenson Road by the Maryland Quarry. So she's sitting up in this, the second floor window, which it had like a, where you can sit in it and read a book or something like that kind of window. And the two boys were standing up in the window with her, looking out, looking up at the star, all the stars. Next thing I know, I hear her screaming for me, telling me to, you know, to hurry up and get up there. I've got to see this. And I'm thinking, it better be a plane, you know, it's got to be a plane, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, what are the odds of something, you know, coming at us again? And she said, I kept saying, wait, I'm doing stuff, you know, and I was trying to clean up or whatever. And she said, Mom, get your ass up here. And I said, no, she's not going to talk to me like that, you know. So I just stopped what I was doing and I went up there, and right in this window was a UFO disc, big, like a silvery, you know, metallic UFO, just sitting there hovering. You couldn't hear it. You didn't get no vibration. It was just sitting there. And I'm looking at her and I said, you know, my jaw just dropped. And I said, and I shook her head too. I'm like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? You know? And I said, I, this is crazy. I was like, do you think they followed us? And she's like, I think they did, you know, and we're still staring at it. And then the two boys started getting worried. And my middle son started crying because he really thought that they were going to take them. And I took them down off the ledge and I put them down. I said, get on the floor and do not get back up. Just stay right where you are. And I'm trying to call for their dad and my oldest son. Neither one of them would wake up. Not either one of them. They would hear, you know, like, and just get up, and they wouldn't wake up. And I'm just staring at this thing with her. And then after it's sitting like that for several minutes, it went up on its side and we can see underneath of it. And then we heard like this metallic and like a, not an engine starting, but like something metal turning and locking in together. And that's what it sounded like. And then it started up, like it sounded like a fan or something like a, I don't even know if it was a fan. I don't know what it was, but it was like something making the lights spin. The red lights came on the outside spinning in one direction until it all looked like so fast that it looked like it was just one light. And then the middle circle section spun the opposite direction until it looked like it was all one light and the lights were red. And then it stayed like that for about a couple of minutes and we're staring at it. And then the next thing we know, it just took off like across the street, like, but up in the sky in like a nanosecond. That thing was gone. And I looked at her and I said, what in the world, you know? And we were told while we were moving into the place that the people that lived there before us had issues of their son telling them that something was touching him. Like he was being touched by something night after night after night. So they moved out of there and they blamed it on it being haunted. And so I said, they should have just stuck around. They would have gotten a view of it. And within about a week, and it was summertime, we got up to these weird shaped triangle, white triangles that was on the grass. And down into the grass, when you pulled it up by the, you know, the roots, was all pure white. So these triangles were all the same shape, the same size, and it had one corner of the triangle. It had like this white circle, as if something came out and whatever was in those triangles, like maybe something opened and, you know, that was part of that opening that landed and touched the ground. Well, we had these triangles all over the place in front on the side of the property. And I said, what in the world? And, you know, I said, it can't be no hoax because who in the world would come here and bleach the grass? Well, later on, we found out that it wasn't bleach. It was radiation that was in the grass. And we were told this by an officer who came out to check it out. And he was built real big and strong. And he was in the military and he deals with chemical stuff. And he knew that that was radiation. And he said, take you and your kids, you know, you guys got to go scrub your hands really well and run it under cold water. Keep scrubbing your hands for like 20 some minutes. You just keep them under the water. So that's what we did. And he said, just leave these alone. You know, he said it should go away over time. He said, just don't pick at them. Leave it alone. And that was the last we heard of him. Like we didn't have anyone else coming or taking samples or nothing. And I said, huh. I'm like, why not? You know, like everything else has happened to us. Why not this? You know, and I'm just like shaking my head at this point. This was becoming something that was worrying me because I'm thinking, are we being followed, you know, or are we being messed with by some unworldly things we don't even know about, you know, what's going on here? So we didn't stay there that long either. We left. We moved out. But we had some pretty crazy experiences in that house too with paranormal. I mean, we had sitting on the porch, you know, just enjoying the night air, summertime, and I'm hearing this horse and buggy coming down the road. And I said, oh, I said, the Amish might be going past, you know, because we were, you know, near PA and stuff like that. So, and they do a lot of farming stuff, you know, selling their goods and stuff like, as I'm thinking, but then I thought, why would they be out this late at night in the horse and buggy? Well, that horse and buggy, we couldn't see it, but we surely did hear it. And it came right up our driveway and stopped right next to us. You can hear the horses. you can hear the people opening the door, talking, getting out and going past us, going up into the house. Cause we moved off the steps and we're standing there and I can just feel people going past me. And I can hear the rustling of their clothes, the dresses, whatever. And I'm standing there like with this puzzled look on my face. And we're all just standing there like, you know, who's going to believe that? And that was our little thing too. Like, nobody's going to believe that one, you know? And we just carry on, you know, we ignore a lot of the things that would happen to try to act like it wasn't there. Maybe it'll go away, you know? Things just seem to move on their own. Like I'm sitting downstairs, I'm watching TV. Everybody's in bed asleep. It's just me. I stayed up. And then of course, what should come on was the ghost hunters. Like, good grief. So I'm like, whatever. So I just sat there and I just watched it, you know, and as I'm watching it, I had a rubber tree that sat right next to my love cow, my love seat. And I can see there was no windows open. The doors were shut. Everything was all closed up. And I can see this one branch on this tree pull down three times. One, two, three. And then it stopped right on a corner of my right peripheral vision. And I said, so I put my feet up on that love seat. Like there is no one sitting next to me on this seat, you know, just put my feet up and I'm still watching and I'm still keeping my peripheral vision to the right as I'm sitting there trying to watch this show. And I'm full of aware that there's something else going on around me. And then I hear this clearing of a man's voice. He's clearing his voice coming into just like that.
Sorry.
Coming into the front room. And I looked up and there was this shadow man, but you can see color almost for the clothes and stuff. And I can see that he was wearing like a straw hat. He was wearing overalls. He was this old man clearing his throat. And when he was walking over to the couch, it looked like he was in between the couch and the wall, and he became like really tall. And then I saw him sit down on the couch and then he disappeared. And I just went, I guess he just wanted to watch TV with me. So I just continued to watch TV. And then I hear the tricycle on the porch move. And I said, it's got to be the wind pushing that. I'm not even bothering. You know, I didn't even bother. And then I started hearing little feet running across like little kid, you know, playing on the porch. I said, what? I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, who's going to let their kid out this late? You know, so I'm looking. I didn't see anyone. And I said, you know what? Whatever's out there, they can keep that tricycle. I'm not even bother. Nope. And I'm already, you know, knowing that there is a man sitting across from me, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Then the next thing happens is that their dad comes to the top of the stairs yelling down. He said, Angie, Angie. And I can hear that he was scared. And I said, yep. And I knew what he was going to say. He was going to say something paranormal about something. And I said, you okay? And he said, were you just up here at all? You know, and did you come in the room and flop down on the bed and then get back up? I said, no, but I have an idea who could have, you know, and I'm looking right across at that couch. And he said, so that wasn't you. And I'm like, was it one of the kids? He said, no, they're all sleeping. And I said, do me a favor. He's like, what? And I said, turn that hall light on for me, please. And he did. And because it lit up, you know, a good bit in the front room. I said, okay. And I turned the TV off. I was like, I'm coming up now, you know. So I turned the TV off and I went upstairs and I went in the room and I sat down. And I said, so what happened is I'm taking off my shoes and everything, just getting ready for bed. And all of a sudden, I'm waiting for him to answer me back. And then I hear these pitter patter feet coming down the hallway, and it came right up right next to me. And like, you know, like a baby running over to the bed and then they slam their arms on top of the bed. That's what that was like. And I thought that's what that was. It just did that like a little kid. And I looked, I couldn't see anything. And I knew there was something in that room. And I said, "Are you talking about that?" He said, "What?" And I'm like, "You didn't hear that." And he said, "No." And I said, "Did you hear like a child running?" He said, "No, but I did. You know, he heard that the other day." And I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" He goes, I didn't think it would even matter. I was like, "You know what? We didn't stay there long. We were going to stay there until Christmas, but we didn't. We had another house that became available." So from that one to that one, there was more stuff that happened. And I was like, you know, either these things are following us or there's just, I can't even put my finger on it. And so my youngest to this day, you know, he can't sleep peacefully on and off, you know, it's just, and me too, like I had things just the other day happen. But when he, when we first moved from there, we went to this house in Timberbrook, which is in Northeast Maryland. We moved there, and not only I, but my next door neighbor was seeing the same, we were having the same experiences, her and me. And it was in my, it started in my closet. And I said, "What in the world is in my," I thought it was her, maybe in her closet on the other side, but her closet wasn't on the other side. And she wasn't moving boxes around or stacking boxes or anything in anywhere. So it was in my closet. I was hearing all this stuff. And then I'm sitting on the bed and I called her up and I said, "Hey," I'm like, "Are you doing anything in that room? You know, I'm like, are you moving boxes?" And she says, "No." She goes, "I thought you were, you know, because you guys just moved in." I said, "No." I said, "Everything's done unpacked." I'm like, "You," and just before I can say anything else to her, this box was being slid across, like a sound of a box being slid and pushed across the bed, the bottom of the bed on the floor. And I said, "Did you hear that?" And she says, "No." And I'm like, I'm not going to sit up in this room much. And she goes, you want to come over and talk, you know? And so we did. And we compared little notes here and there. And I'm like, "Oh boy." And I'm like, "Well, whatever you're seeing, it's over here with us, you know?" So I'm sitting eating one day, one happy morning after sending off my youngest to the bus, and me and a dog walk back. And so we're sitting there and I'm sharing my breakfast with him like I do every morning. And then all of a sudden we had a deck on the back of ours. It wasn't a very big one, but we had a deck and she had no deck. So there was this black, tall figure of a male walking from her direction and just kept walking across my direction. And the more he walked, I knew he wasn't, you know, still on that platform, that he had to have fallen off, but yet he was still, I could still see him through the window, just keep on going. And
right there, we're going to stop, folks, with Angela, and we're going to start back up with her for part 3 coming up next week. Thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Roundtable, being Anthony and, of course, Angela Shelton. Thank you. We'll be right back.